You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75 two-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer, the one and only Tony Casillas. TC, what up?
I'm doing great, RJ. Great to be with you as always as we do our Tuesday rendition of the 750. I'm doing great, my man.
I did want to ask you, Tony, before we started with it beginning this week, if you were an Olympic athlete, what would you want to compete in?
Oh, gosh, I think I would go. I'm going to be the fastest person on the planet. I'd be track and field without a doubt.
See, like that, not that there's an Olympic sport that doesn't require a life's amount of work, but like that requires way too much work to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go to the Olympics. Like, I want to go to the Olympics and I want to have a good time and I want to see everything and still get my gold medal. And so, like, I was reading, did you know they have 3-on-3 basketball as part of the Olympics this year?
I saw that. They're starting to have all these different type of events. But I did see that. That's interesting.
I would like to do that. You know what I mean? I would like to do, maybe if I had to do like a team sport, maybe if you think 3-on-3 is too small, maybe basketball, maybe soccer. Baseball's back. Certainly golf, be Colin Morikawa. I mean, you know, but track and field's way too much. I'm not committed to that.
Well, when I watch the hurdles, and I know how hard that is, I just think that it'd be great to be labeled as the fastest person on the planet. And, you know, to the point of all the other sports, I think golf would be another individual sport to play. But I think I'm going to go traditional. I think the thing that I'm so amazed every year is gymnastics. I mean, what these, you know, men and women do with their bodies, and just the fact that when I was like in second grade, I got on the balance beam and fell off, and I thought I'd fallen off like I was 20 feet in the air, but I was only like 2 feet off the ground. What they do on the balance beam is amazing. But this is a great week coming up. I mean, for the opening of the ceremonies, we got a lot to watch, you know, on TV, and just the whole, you know, last year canceling because of the pandemic. Man, I'm excited, man. I'm almost as excited as about, tonight's game six of the NBA finals. It should be pretty exciting.
Good sports week ahead, certainly. I like epic things, and I like when everybody's like tuned into the same thing. The finals have that feel. The Olympics have that feel for a long time, obviously. But lots of American pride going on. One of the greatest Americans, greatest Cowboys of all time is, of course, Roger Staubach. You've spoken before, Tony, about how you came into ownership of a signed jersey of Roger the Dodger. You have a different signed jersey, it looks like, to tell us a story about today, though.
You know, I do. And so it all started, what is it, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or a month ago. I played in a golf tournament. They had the Salads auction, as you alluded to. I got Roger's signed jersey, which got it at a great value. And then yesterday I played in a golf tournament. I was invited to play, and they had a lot of memorabilia. And the original 88 was actually emceeing the event, which was hilarious. Hall of Famer Drew Pearson. It's an organization that's been around for a long time. A Boys and Girls Club, but this place that it's called Memphis, and it's in Addison. If you're familiar with the Dallas area, it's been, I think, around for 30 years. I remember the first time I ever met Too Tall Jones is when I was traded to Dallas, and I always heard about Too Tall be larger than life, which he is. Went to this place, and he was in the back corner with a bucket of Miller Lite. I just go over there, and I was kind of starstruck, and I said, "Hey, what's going on, Too Tall?" And he goes, "Welcome to Dallas." But anyway, they had this the live auction yesterday, and one of the items was Tony Dorsett's signed jersey. And so I thought, well, how great would that be to add to my collection? The triplets of the 70s with Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, and then Drew Pearson. So lo and behold, I won it. I guess you don't actually win it. You have to pay for it, but it's for a great organization. So As I'm holding up to you, RJ, I have my signed Tony Dorsett jersey to add to my collection. I don't know. I just thought, you know, these things are priceless. And as time goes by, you get the opportunity to bid on things. And, you know, the history with the Cowboys being in the market, I just thought, let me add it to it. But let me just say, like, a side note, because I know your favorite Cowboy all time is who?
Because I mean, you say that, and I've said it before. Tony Romo took over the Cowboys when I was in high school. So again, impressionable age, but obviously Tony Dorsett outranks him in Cowboys history.
No. Well, no, the story is, and I get that. That was in your generation, so right. you can really relate to Tony Romo. So I got to tell you, man, I felt really bad for Tony Romo and the people that love Tony Romo. And I thought about you yesterday.
Oh, no.
So they have all these items. They're auctioning off. We got Cowboy stuff. They got, you know, Yellowstone, you know, autograph pictures and all this, you know, Mike Madonna, the great, to play for the, you know, Dallas Stars.
Right.
And just really cool stuff. So they have this plaque, this picture frame that has Tony Romo's picture. And not a jersey, and has him autograph, and it's got a collage of different pictures. The beginning bid was $200, and that was the last bid.
That's pretty reasonable, honestly. Ultimately, but the fact that it was the last bid is depressing.
Well, yeah. And my point is I'm looking at all this other things, and there's people there that were generational, like yourself, and I'm thinking they took it off because I guess they had a reserve for it. But I felt bad that. Almost bid on it for $200, but it's a nice frame. You see the frames, it's like in your office. I have
right.
with the frame and the picture and in his autograph, but couldn't even get the reserve for a Tony Romo signed autograph, tremendous pictures. Couldn't even get the reserve, RJ, and almost thought, you know, maybe that'd be a great early Christmas present for RJ to get this value. And then, but I just kind of felt bad, but anyway.
Well, that is very cool that you got Tony Dorsett's jersey. Nobody can see it, obviously, because it's a podcast, but it's the old school Cowboys road jersey, the old school blue, which is really nice to see, too. Very cool. I actually, before we kind of get into stuff, you know, the one con, Tony, to being a professional athlete like you have been, is that you don't know what it's like to like for normal people to get autographs. You know what I mean? Like you've gotten autographs at some point in your life, somewhere signed an autograph for Tony Casillas. And I'm sure it was very exciting, but it's different when you're not a professional athlete and you go to the game, the parking lot or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? And you get the autograph, like it's a different rush. You know what I mean?
So, I love that experience. That's one thing you miss it as an athlete.
Right.
It just the adulation and people actually want an autograph. And like, okay, well, it's not that real big, but I've always felt like that.
Right. So
very humbling.
I've told this story before, and I'll tell it very quickly. The first time, I've gotten it twice, I got Romo's autograph. Mm-hmm. It was Christmas Day 2006. And did you ever stay at the old Marriott by the airport?
Okay.
Was that still the team hotel?
That was the team hotel.
Right. Okay.
Right off Highway 114. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of great memories there. A lot of great team meetings before championship games.
Right. They that was the Cowboys team hotel before the Gaylord and before the Star and everything. So,
right.
So the Cowboys were staying there. It's Christmas Day 2006. And it was the first Cowboys game I ever went to. And I went with my dad. And so he had been to a lot of games. So he was like, let's go to the parking lot, you know, because as you know, the players on their way in, they sign autographs, right. Players on their way out, sign autographs, whatever. And so it's Christmas morning. Players are getting ready. They're leaving the hotel, either going home, going to the stadium, whatever. Romo had just taken over, like, I don't know, a month and a half prior.
Yeah, that's too bad. That was just breaking out. Welcome to the world, Tony Romo.
Yeah. And so I'll never forget. He drove a Ford Expedition. And so way before any contract from the Cowboys or CBS ever came. And, you know, there was a fence and I'm sure you did this thousands of times. You would go and you would hope that you would be the one. That's the feeling we're talking about. And I had a football that I was getting signed by a bunch of people and I got to the line and Romo just kept going like away from me, just, you know, and that's the worst feeling, you know, cause you're like, I'm not getting this. And he just, you know, he backed off and went to his car and I was just devastated. Like we had the game to go to and everything. And I was just like, the day was ruined for me. And my dad turned me around and he put in a stoplight. He said, hey, son, you know, Romo's got to go through that light. He's like, if you run over there, you know, and you beat him, like, who knows what happens, whatever. So I legit ran to the stoplight and I beat Romo there. No big deal. I beat a Ford Expedition. I looked up and the light turned red. And so I was like freaking out, like, well, what's about to happen? Like, he has to stop because he obeys traffic laws. You know what I mean? And so as he was rolling or like, you know, coming to a break, he was rolling down his window and had a Sharpie in his hand. And and he signed my football. He said, Merry Christmas, dude. And he walked out or drove off. Cool. And that was, I will never in my life ever forget. And then I came back and my dad and I hugged and it was this awesome moment. And so like, that is the power of that kind of stuff.
Well, it's very impressional. I mean, that's something you're always, a great story that you always have. And now I can understand why you're such a big fan. I mean, that's, you know, that's the greatest thing about being able to touch someone, when you know, right, to get a little bit sentimental. As a, you know, these fans, and I've always said that that's the reason why you love the game so much. And the fact that he made your day in 2006 on Christmas, I mean, what a great gift to you. And kudos to your dad. Your dad, you know, he deserved, you know, dad of the 21st century for doing something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cool moment. The Cowboys lost that day to the Jeff Garcia-led Eagles. So not a fun day in that sense, but still a very cool experience nonetheless. But shout
out
to
the story was going really good until you said they got beat by the Eagles,
yeah,
by Jeff Garcia. But nevertheless, you got your wish.
Shout out to the old Marriott by the airport. That was a good place.
Oh, God, that was a tremendous place.
I'm sure it was a far more tremendous place for you than it was for me. Okay. So, well, very cool story about two different Tonys, with one Tony. It's a big Tony day here, on the 750. So Tony, these are some comments that some would construe as controversial. But you know, we're just going to examine them. On Monday, it was a big story that Michael Irvin, who has signed many an autograph himself, had a thought, I guess I is the most ambiguous way to term it, regarding vaccinations in the NFL. The league is hoping to have every team above 85% vaccinations. Obviously, this is obviously a polarizing subject the country, but the world as a whole. And so obviously we've all been in the pandemic for a year and a half now, approximately. And so Michael Irvin, Tony, generally speaking, basically effectively said, you don't want to win badly enough if you aren't willing to get vaccinated. And every person's, you know, choice to get vaccinated or not to is completely theirs. Everybody has the right to have their own thoughts and opinions on this. Where Irvin is coming from, this is my read on it, you can tell me if you disagree, is, and people talked about this last year when the season was beginning, you know, the common phrase was the team that stands the best chance is the team that's going to be the healthiest, the team that isn't going to lose players to COVID. And we saw that throughout the season. We saw different players test positive or have a close contact trace and therefore be unable to play. Dez Bryant couldn't play against the Cowboys because he was ruled out right before the game. Cam Newton couldn't play for the New England Patriots. The Denver Broncos literally did not have a quarterback because of different, you know, protocols, and the NFL tried to do what they could in a safe manner. And so this season, Tony, obviously with a lot more information than we had last year, and the vaccination, you know, available to different people, to all people, it seems that, you know, Michael Irvin drew the conclusion that the Cowboys players who are not above 85% seemingly don't want to win badly enough. I don't want to speak for Michael Irvin, but what was your read on his comment?
Well, I think it's just Michael trying to grab some news again. And look, whether he's being ambiguous or just, as I just mentioned, trying to grab some headlines. First of all, I think it's totally different than it was last year. As you mentioned, everyone has a choice to either get vaccinated or to not get vaccinated. I will say this, that regardless whether it's right or wrong, there is a lot of people in corporate America are facing the same challenges, whether you get vaccinated or you keep your job.
Right.
And so, you know, that's a hard line to take, but we're at the point now where we're trying to stay in front of this pandemic and seemingly have been doing that. But my comment to Michael Irvin is that what have they been doing for the last 20 years? I mean, have they, you know, there was no pandemic. And yet
you're just talking about winning now, right? Yeah.
And winning championships. So if you're going to use one isolated incident, in which I think I get it, but there's only, 13 other teams that met that 85% threshold. in the National Football League. I believe that's what I read this morning when before we came on and started a podcast, is that guys had the chance. Now, how detrimental is that when I mean, first of all the guys that hadn't been vaccinated got to wear masks and go through all that and just be able to stay isolated. They can't eat with, you know, the team that the players have been vaccinated, you know, right. Training camp can eat together. So it's kind of like a bubble. So I don't know how to interpret that. I don't know if I'm going to interpret that as being selfish and not thinking about winning, or just more or less just thinking about the underlying issues that you have with it. And look, there was a point when I'm like, you know, now I'm like, why wouldn't you get vaccinated? Because it is prevention. It is if you have, you know, if you're in a proximity business of playing the game of football, that it's hard to, you know, to stay separated because you're sweating, you're playing, breathing on each other. I mean, it's a very intimate job, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you'd be more prone to do that. But I'm going back and forth on that. But I mean, for me, it's if you're going to look at that, use that as the narrative that you don't want to win championship because you don't get vaccinated. Michael, what have they been doing for the last 20 years? Has there been an incident where they made a choice? And look, it is all about staying healthy.
Right.
But it's totally different when you look at it the analytical way of winning. And look, I think everyone has a choice to get vaccinated or to not vaccinated. And I think that that's their choice. But I'm not going to go so far as say that's the reason why that this team is not going to be able to win championships. It's a prevention. Yes, it is. But put it in the books that that's the reason why at the end of the season, after 17 games, we'll see what this team does. And we'll see if it's because they weren't able to get it done because of lack of performance or injuries or what so forth.
So Irvin's full comment, and I'm reading this from ESPN's transcribing of it, you know, talked about how, you know, he was obviously talked about how the Cowboys are not among the teams to reach 85% threshold. And he said, yeah, and it should upset them. It should upset them. Dude, you're not thinking right. You're not thinking right. Whatever you got, I don't give a damn. Nothing else can be more important. You're not going to get this, talking about a Super Bowl, easily. Nothing else could be more important. Jimmy made that abundantly clear. Nothing else is more important, and not being one of the teams says there's other things to a great number of people on this team that are more important than winning championships, and that makes me worried. So I think the part that you're talking about that you, again, I don't speak for you, that you don't necessarily agree with is this last part where Irvin is saying by the Cowboys not being one of the teams above the threshold. And by the way, NFL Network did report on Monday that while the Cowboys are not above 85%, they are not one of the two teams below 50%. And Mike Garafolo did suggest that it's possible the Cowboys could be above 85% soon. So we'll see about that. But again, Irvin's point here is not being one of the teams says there's other things to a great number of people on this team that are more important than winning championships. And that makes me worried. And I agree with you. That does feel like, I don't want to call it low hanging fruit, but I'm no longer talking about the vaccine. Like this feels like making a mountain out of a molehill. Like you're taking one thing and saying, this is this is proof you're not committed to winning a championship. Like this has nothing to do with that ultimately.
Yeah. I think there's far more reasons why this team has failed over the last, you know, five or so, however long it's been. I mean, it's been a hell of a long time since they've been relevant, and to really use this. And to me, this is a stone for Michael to grab some, to be controversial. And shout out to him for being controversial and actually saying something objective about the Cowboys, because usually he's the biggest fan. So I'm like, okay, where did this come from when he's talking? And look, I think that that's the thing when we judge so, you know, so quickly, RJ, and in our business, when we're doing our podcast or whatever you're tweeting and whatever you're reporting, is that we're judgmental. We don't understand that. And I think that the teams that are below 50%, to me, that would be a far more problem than the 85% threshold, because 50%, that's pretty low. So what message are you sending there? And look, the thing also is that, you know, last year during this pandemic, when guys went and they were around and subjecting themselves to places that, you know, the guy goes into a strip bar and all of a sudden they're in protocols. Dwayne Haskins last season, was it last year when he went out? you know, to me, this is a choice whether you want to play or not. And it's kind of the fine line whether you get vaccinated or non-vaccinated, because if you do get exposed to COVID and you've been vaccinated, I think, you know, I'm not a doctor. I've been vaccinated. I think the ramifications are far less if you have it. So I think that that's some stipulation to players. And look, I've always said this. I said this many a times. The corporate America does not apply to sports, professional sports. It's just totally different.
Yeah.
But I always thought if you're politically, and this is always different, if you want to understand how we can all get along, you go hang out in the locker room for a while and you understand that everyone can coexist. But the COVID thing to me is, again, I think that Michael is using this is out of context with what the point he is trying to make.
I understand how somebody, in this case, Irvin, could make the connection or could connect the dots rather between, okay, they don't want to get vaccinated. That means they don't want to win enough. I get the, like, the definition of that, because, right, like, the idea is if you're vaccinated, you can be around more, your chances of landing on the COVID list are lower, and therefore your chances of being together are higher, right? Like that.
Yeah, but RJ, it's like, does Michael know the facts about the factual information when it comes to health related?
Well,
you know,
yeah.
It's almost like I'm going to convert you, whatever, if you're Catholic, I'm going to convert you to being a Baptist. Okay.
Right.
I mean, it's your own belief. And one of the underlying issues also, because I've been judgmental on people, you need to get vaccinated, is maybe they have some underlying issues.
Sure.
If they get vaccinated, it'll perpetuate what they already have going on. So I think that, again, it's more of him trying to grab the headlines as opposed to the facts behind what you're saying.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree that nobody knows what there's 3,000 players in the NFL, right? Like, nobody knows what all 3,000 are dealing with. Nobody knows what all 53 or 90 on a given team are dealing with, right? Like, every person, these are athletes that their livelihoods are their bodies, right? Like, that's how they make their living. And so they have to be inordinately careful with what they're doing. And so I totally get that. My point is, there are these dots to connect that mm-hmm. Michael Irvin is connecting. But before, like, I think before any person would connect them or you know, what I would do if I was going to connect them is I would take a step and say, okay, I can connect these dots, but what does that really mean? And to your point, it means, well, you know, I don't know what all these players are thinking. And I think something that's been kind of lost in all this, because Monday was nothing but headlines about the Cowboys, you know, Michael Irvin says the Cowboys don't want to win badly enough. That was the headline wherever you saw this story. But I think we forget that last year, and again, last year we were at a very different place as a world. Obviously, you know, the NFL was at a different place within that umbrella. But the Cowboys were one of the teams who were kind of at the forefront of team unity within the pandemic. I'm not talking about you specifically, but whoever's listening, you might have forgotten the Cowboys. You know, this remember this time last year, Tony, the NBA was in a bubble. The NHL was in a bubble. Every major soccer league was in a bubble. Everybody was out in Florida doing the bubble thing so they could finish out their seasons. The Cowboys created a bubble at the Omni because, as you know, you can live in a bubble there, right? Like, you go from the Omni to the practice facility, and they created a bubble. And they talked about that when they were all doing their training camp press conferences, how it was kind of player-led, how they all sort of came to the realization together, hey, the healthiest team is going to, you know, stand the best chance this season in the NFL. And that's like true no matter what, right? Like, whoever is like the healthiest always has the most success just with regards to injuries in football. But obviously last year, COVID played a different role than we'd ever seen any other injury before. And so this Cowboys team, I don't think it's fair to accuse this specific group of not wanting to win enough when last year they were way ahead of other NFL teams in that they went out of their way. And granted, they are the Dallas Cowboys, so they have the resources that are the Omni, that are the Star. Like, not every team has that, but still the leadership on the Cowboys team, which is the nucleus of it, was there last year, went ahead and did what they could so that they could stand the best chance as an overall group. That's why I don't want to say Michael Irvin's being unfair. It's a comment that, you're right, it just grabbed headlines, and it became, I think the story became something that wasn't even, like, I think people took the loosest part of what Irv said and then made that the headline. You know what I mean? And so that, and you know how this subject is. Anytime anybody brings up anything to do with COVID or vaccinations, it becomes people yelling at each other from across the sidelines.
Yeah, I don't think I would have used COVID as a reason for this team not being able to build championships. COVID didn't have anything to do with Dak Prescott blowing out his ankle last year. I mean, as you mentioned, I don't know, the cases that they had really didn't affect what they were doing on the field. It was more self-destruction. And look, I think that, you know, if there's a mandate, if there's anything, any stipulation in your contract or things that you do because you're not vaccinated or non-vaccinated, if you got to miss, you know, a lengthy period of time, I mean, I guarantee it, a lot of the players, and look, I don't know what the stats, I don't know what they reveal. I guess we'll know whenever we see players wearing masks at training camp, the ones that are vaccinated or non-vaccinated, because they're going to have to wear masks when they go, they're around each other. So I guess we'll be able to know that. But I could probably say this right now, the core players, and look, I don't know this for fact, but I'm going to be judgmental again. I would say the core players on that team have been vaccinated. And I don't really need to mention names to understand the leaders and the core players. Maybe I may be wrong, but I'm going to say Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, the players, and I may be wrong, they may not be part of that percentage. But, you know, it's a choice that needs to be made. And, again, it's not – the corporate America is totally different. You know, it's your job. There's a lot of people that made choices whether they want to continue their job to be vaccinated. And just so happened in a National Football League or NBA or whatever you choose to do, sometimes those don't apply to that. But again, I think it's a serve trying to grab headlines and not really have any basis. Look, Jimmy Johnson, I mean, I did them on podcast. I had Jimmy Johnson. I taped my podcast and we talked about some of the crazy things he used to do as a coach. It's totally different. I mean, it's 25 years removed or however long from the league. And it's still, we're dealing with something that's a world pandemic and not right. Just winning and losing a football game based on taking the vaccine or not taking the vaccine.
No. And so I want to be careful with what I'm going to say. Cause I love Jimmy Johnson. Right. And you love Jimmy Johnson. Everybody check out the Tony Casilla show. That's awesome. But so this happens with certain people there. And the two people that I think it happens the most with are Jimmy Johnson and Tony Romo. Now, let me say, it is way more justified when it comes to Jimmy Johnson than it is Tony Romo. But people, like Cowboys fans, will throw out statements. And like sometime when something bad happens to the Cowboys, like in modern times, people will say, this would have never happened under Jimmy Johnson. You know, again, Jimmy Johnson deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest coaches who ever lived. But the people add to the legend. You know what I mean? Like after the fact, they say, well, this would have never, like Jimmy would have won this game 100-0, whatever. You know what I mean? And so like, because people live in that, like, you know, that nostalgia in their minds. And the same, right. And people do that with Romo. Like, oh, well Romo would have made that throw. Like what, you know, Romo, like people, like, again, people harp on the things that they're attached to. And so like, again, Irvin throwing out, you know, well, Jimmy made it abundantly clear that it was all about winning. And you just said, like, yes, like you've talked about that like several times. Like he, you know, flights home after losses were terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people have heard all those legends. People have heard the legend of the asthma field, right? Like all those stories. But again, that was not in the middle of a global pandemic. Like that is an important piece of context here. And you're right, like there are a lot of reasons why the Cowboys have struggled to win a championship. You said 20 years when we first started. It's almost 30 years.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Give the benefit of the doubt.
So last week, Stephen Jones did an interview, and this made the rounds everywhere. And he asked, you know, what one of his biggest regrets was. And he said, not paying Dak Prescott earlier. And, like, I hate to be the guy that bashes Stephen or Jerry because their jobs are difficult, and I realize that. But it was like this one example, and we'll see how the Cowboys play now with Dak on the price tag that he's on. But this was 100% predictable that the market was going to rise, that it was going to cost more money. You know, all of this was 100%, like it literally not 50%, not 60%, 70%, not 85% to use the number that started this whole conversation. This was 100% predictable, and yet for whatever reason, whether his own arrogance or ignorance, Stephen Jones dragged this out and paid way more money than he had to acquire his franchise quarterback. Now, he got the deal done, and that ultimately is what matters the most. But, I mean, that's the reason. Is that, you know, Stephen saying, yeah, well, I probably would have done the thing that, you know, everybody knew I should have done 2 years ago. Like, that's the reason the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl. It has nothing to do with this, you know, commitment to winning or whatever. It's that the front office doesn't have the foresight that a lot of other teams do in the NFL.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at that as it's kind of a double down situation for Stephen Jones. Not only are you having to pay him twice, almost twice as much money, it seems. It just escalated. But the fact that even a quarterback who lost maybe a career season, a career-ending injury, still had to pay more than what you would have when you 2 years ago. So I think for him, I think that, look, I'll give him props for actually admitting.
Sure, totally.
He was wrong, but we all knew that. And the fact that he was just trying to play a little poker here and end up losing. And look, it would have, I mean, I don't see that as just losing respect for the decision making, because I think everyone is put in a situation where you got to, oh God, I got to, you know, should I wait? Should I pay this guy now? I mean, should I take
it? Yeah,
you
know? It's not easy. I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, you're putting yourself in kind of a difficult evaluation. Where you're waiting to see what you're going to have to pay him now or later. And unfortunately, it's the brand of the NFL that's just the freaking ceiling has gone through the roof, because it's gotten bigger and bigger every year. And look, I mean, I hope it was a great mistake. I hope he's saying, you know what, that's the best mistake I ever made. Paying him 2 years ago, with Dak goes out there and lights it up, and then he comes back and he's got to pay more money. I mean, yeah. I think that hopefully that's the something that he went back and said, hey, I'm good with that. You know, I'm glad I waited.
I agree. But I guess now we're talking about this like as a conversation.
But don't we already know that what you just said, that this franchise sometimes has made decisions where we're like scratching our head.
Yeah.
Saying, why did you make that? But that's kind of been the narrative with this franchise, you know, since Jerry's owned it. Right.
I mean, and that's why. You know,
even the decision making to hire Mike Nolan and some of the decisions they made last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we could question that, because that, look how that worked.
No. And that's to your point a little while ago. Where is Michael Irvin on those things? Right. Like Michael Irvin, and you're right. Like, it was in a weird way refreshing to hear Michael Irvin be critical of the Cowboys, just like in a general sense. Right.
Is that Michael Irvin? Is he actually right. making Vince?
Right, but he came out and effectively criticized the Cowboys players for not wanting to win badly enough here by not getting vaccinated.
Oh, he's not going to criticize Jerry or Steven or anyone else.
And that's what I'm saying, though. Like, yeah. You know, if you look at the – and I don't think either of us meant to turn this into the, like, bag on Jerry and Steven episode. But if you look at the failures of the Cowboys, because they are failures because they haven't won another Super Bowl in almost 30 years, the common denominator is the ownership, right? Like, the coaches have changed, coordinators have changed, players have changed, quarterbacks have changed, like, everything, stadiums have changed, right? Like, brands have changed. Like, the one constant, there are two constants, Tony, the ownership and the fact that the organization continues to be worth more than any other in the world of professional sports. And so that's, you know, that's what the perception is, that that's enough. And that's a really frustrating, you know, reality or potential reality for a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans. And it's tough. And so you're right. Like, they allow, look, the jury is, I'm of the opinion that the jury is still out on Mike McCarthy. We'll see. The guy hardly had a fair shake last year. We've discussed that many times. But they did allow him to hire Mike Nolan, right? Like, they did a lot. They are the team who insist on, you know, elevating Jalen Smith. Like, they do all these different things. Those things really conflict with the idea of wanting to win way more than this particular one does.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there's so many other things that we could look at. And
I mean, like, sorry, Tony, not to cut you off, but
no,
they're insisting on having training camp in California, right? For example, right? Like, that's because that's what they want to do, right? They want to go to California, and it's a great place to be. Like, weather-wise, California's awesome. I'm not trying to hate on the state of California or anything, but they are insisting on that when it's probably a better idea, again, in the midst of a global pandemic, to have training camp at home at the world-class facility that we already discussed. And so did the players make that decision or did the organization make that decision? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really want to trace this particular idea back far enough, it all always goes back to the top.
Yeah, and I think that we mentioned that, you know, when you talk about Michael, he's not going to say anything negative or disagree with management. That's just not him. I mean, he has that type of relationship, and good for him. But, you know, look, I think that the whole pandemic in California, I think it's some normalcy because I think it's that fan base. It's being in California, and it's we have to get everyone together. It has to get used to is that the business aspect of running a team.
Right.
Jerry Jones is a genius, maybe not a genius sometimes when it comes to winning games, but as far as keeping staying two steps ahead of everyone else when it comes to branding and marketing, that dude's won multiple Super Bowls. But I know real quick, we kind of got off. We were to start talking about, you know, the Michael Irvin's comments. And then we're talking about, you know, some other things when it comes to this, you know, training camp is coming up. You know, they were going to report this week. And I just wanted to ask you real quick, what do you think the Cowboys, what do you want to see them accomplish in training camp?
I mean, this is a very, very wide net that I'm about to throw out. That, you know what I mean? And I realize that. And so this isn't like the most, like, you know, analytically driven point. I just want to see, I've said this before, I'm tired of the like cutesy things at training camp. I'm tired of, you know, and I really have not been trying to criticize anybody. This was all Tony's fault, everybody. Tony's the one who got us ramped up. But like, I don't want to see the Sanjay Lal wide receivers carrying bricks, right? Like, I don't want to see tight ends doing drills where they're like holding their head under like a bucket of water and coming up to catch a pass. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
this is going to be, they are going to be on Hard Knocks. So you're going to see some, there'll be some production going on.
I just want to see straight up plain Jane football. You know what I mean? And that's what's been really absent for a while is we it's been so much about all this, so much about all that. And they have had a really dominant story going into every training camp for a long time. There's no like dominant story. It's just that they're back. And so just be back. Just keep your head down. I would love if Hard Knocks was super boring. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want. Just boring.
Well, I don't want it to be boring.
Well,
Hard Knocks being boring. I mean, come on.
You know what I mean? I mean, so I just want, I want meat and potatoes football.
Yeah. Right. A productive show.
Right.
And look, I think the point about, yeah, the Cowboys could have stayed at the Star and didn't have to deal with all the things that go along with the pandemic and out in California, it's kind of hot out there right now. It's hot temperature wise. So as far as, you know, the other variant,
the part Delta, of the COVID. Right.
Right. So, but I do understand getting away and being together and you know, being as a team and going through that whole connection again. You know, training camp is not like it used to be. You don't go out there and beat the hell out of each other. So I think it is that's a good component of this to be able to do that. But I would just like to see a lot, you know, Micah Parsons, he's a guy that's just really grateful. So just can't believe he's starting. You tweeted that out on social media. But I want to see different positions. I want to see competition. I want to see Dan Quinn, what he's like with these players. I want to see guys working hard. And you may not be able to see. I want to see competition in positions. I mean, they don't have to, like, show the world. But I really want to see them really have a competition in different positions where guys think, look, we're in, you know, a little inferior. They're a little unsettling at those different positions. And really get some stuff accomplished because I think you only have what, a week before you play, you know, go to play in the Hall of Fame Bowl game in Canton. Right. So I think there's a lot of things need to happen. And just the fact they have more time together is going to be good for this because, as I mentioned, they have a new defense coordinator, different players. But really, I'm just interested to see the competition at the linebacker position. To me, that is probably going to be the story of the training camp and also – I know it's going to be store on Hard Knocks. There's going to be a lot of different components of that, you know, rookies and stuff. But I think that's what I really, really want to see. But I'm like you. I want to see some energy and excitement and accomplishment coming out of there. I mean, I think it's great to, you know, find some players that maybe that they weren't talking about it. But I think some of the positions that they really need to, you know, to find, as I mentioned, is defense. And, you know, is CeeDee Lamb going to come out as a number one wide receiver going into the first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I think CeeDee needs to have a huge camp. And I don't mean this like his spot on the roster is in jeopardy or anything, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we from the moment he was drafted, it was like, this dude, and I think this is going to happen still, obviously.
Dude looks shredded, too. Man.
Yeah, that's
who's got the less body fat, Zeke or CeeDee Lamb?
Definitely CeeDee. Yeah. That's not to speak ill of Zeke. My point is, we've been on this path of CeeDee is eventually going to become the alpha. CeeDee's going to take over. So, let's see it. That's where we're at. I think if we see that takeover from CeeDee, it justifies a lot of the hype around the offense, because it's like, holy crap, this dude, you know, it becomes, I can't believe CeeDee fell to them all over again. You know what I mean? I think CeeDee's going to reannounce himself to the world this year with
and it looks like he's been working his ass off to hopefully have that role. So it'll be some interesting storylines in training camp.
My last question for you, Tony, who did you hate going up against in training camp? Who did
Larry
you hate?
Allen.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
The whole left side of the line. And to mention, every time we talk about Jimmy Johnson, I automatically feel like I'm having another concussion, because people just don't understand. You know, the training camps are so different. We're so violent. I mean, it's violent enough. But the drill that we ran, the 907 live drill, where it's just mono-a-mono, just everyone participated. It was live ammunition, buddy. And to be able to survive, so you get four reps, and if they run an OT counter where they block down with Eric Williams and Nate Newen and Larry Allen, if I could just get up and walk, I felt like I could make it through the rest of the day of practice and training camp if I could survive that.
That's a very fair answer. Very exciting times are here. Training camp is here, Tony. Football season is effectively here. We made it. Enjoy the Olympics. Enjoy the opening ceremony. Bucks or Suns? Who you got?
Bucks.
In six?
In six. Okay. Four straight, baby.
I agree. You said, actually.
That's crazy. To think that who would ever thought being two down that they would, you know, they've won three straight. It's been a hell of a series, man.
And you know what? The Milwaukee area needs it with all this Aaron Rodgers stuff going on. So, let's give them something to cheer about. So,
you know, maybe that's just that's a good thing for them, because they deflect all that. No one's thinking about Aaron Rodgers. Well, maybe just a little bit.
Right.
But if all those people are dear, was at the Deer Park, man, I love watching 25,000 fans. You think they're worried about coronavirus playmaker?
They're only worried about Devin Booker and Chris Paul. That's it. Sweet. So everybody have yourselves a good week. We'll see you next week. This was the 750.